Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Today we're continuing our discussion on the books of Alice Bailey. And Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. She wrote 24 volumes of literature. And all of the dialogue that you hear on this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey. But before we start, I'd just like to mention that later on we'll speak more in depth about a gift that we have for you, and we're happy to make that gift available to you. But the following thought is also from the literature of Alice Bailey. It's a quote from Alice Bailey. And she says that the books that I have written are sent out with no claim for their acceptance. They may or may not be correct, true, and useful. It is for you to ascertain their truth by right practice and by the exercise of the intuition. If the teaching conveyed calls forth a response and brings a flashing forth of intuition, then let that teaching be accepted, but not otherwise. So it's so difficult to go into all 24 volumes, but we have to look at this as an overview, and I thought that
a lifetime project.
Yeah, did so well last time, so let's continue our discussion on these works of Alice Bailey.
Well, we were talking last time about meditation, and it was making me remember as you read that opening statement, which appears in the front of every book by Alice Bailey, that my initial approach to the books was through an interest in meditation. I remember 30 years ago realizing that if I had a mind, I didn't use it very much, and that I should, and that I needed training in meditation to get control of my mind. I think a lot of people think, and they're right, that if they want to use their mind, they have to get an education, which they do. But there's another aspect to the mind that requires meditation, training to discipline it and to gain access to the higher level of the mind, which is the abstract level, and higher still to the intuition. And it's that inner intuition that Alice Bailey is speaking to in that opening statement when she says, if the teaching calls forth a response and brings a flashing forth of the intuition, then let that teaching that you are reading be accepted, but not otherwise. In other words, use your own God-given inner light to evaluate the truth or lack of truth in what you are reading, particularly when it comes to some spiritual teaching. And we were talking last time about a number of the books of Alice Bailey focusing on meditation, one being The Light of the Soul, which is a classic text of based on the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, which must be a teaching that's, perhaps 10,000 years old. There are different guesses at it. And she wrote a commentary on these classic sutras or rules that have to do with meditation. Telepathy is another wonderful book for people who are interested in meditation, not to become psychic, but to develop the mind that can be impressed or can register the plan of God. And that's one of the major responsibilities of spiritual seekers today, according to Alice Bailey, that we use our minds to respond to the emerging plan of God, register that plan, and become creative cooperators in implementing that plan. That's the duty of the human being.
And it's using meditation in a different way, perhaps, than what one may mm-hmm. think. It's not meditation just for self-analysis or for self-development.
Or relaxation.
Relaxation. It's meditation that is used in a creative way to actually create thought forms of new values and so forth. And it's also a, as it says in the book, The Light of the Soul, that based on this science of meditation is based on the techniques of Raja Yoga, and where the mind will be known as the instrument of the soul and the means whereby the brain and the aspirant of the aspirant becomes illumined.
The instrument of the soul, isn't that a wonderful thought? The mind is the instrument of the soul.
That's exactly what we have to realize is what we are. What we must become is the instrument of the soul, and allow that soul to take control of our lives.
And the very definition of man is from the Sanskrit manas, meaning one who thinks. That's our responsibility and our unique contribution.
And that's the great thing about this this type of meditation, this particular technique of meditation that is stressed in the Bailey books.
It's just as our mothers were right when they said, if you would only think. They were right. Use your brain, or as my mother would say, use your gnoggin. God gave it to you, use it. But it's not just the concrete mind, it's the higher mind that is not totally self-concerned. Most of us, if we really examined our waking consciousness, it's thinking, me, 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 I want, I hope, I need. But there's a higher aspect of the mind that is more diffused in its point of focus. Maybe that's not the right word. It's less self-centered and more concerned with universal conditions and values. And meditation can awaken access to that level of consciousness where you leave the separated self and you join the whole. Your mind can merge with the larger
And that comes
whole.
By because once you merge and closer with the soul, the soul is group conscious mm-hmm. and the universal conscious. And that's the type of consciousness that takes over, that mm-hmm. you begin to enter into, and you begin to think more in universal terms.
Another really special aspect of the books of Alice Bailey that predominates in a number of the volumes is the idea of what she called the new group of world servers, which was her term for the men and women who are actively engaged in world service in all departments of human living, not just in religious work or social redeeming, but in education, in politics, in finance, in psychology, science, culture and the arts, in all fields. There are people who are actively working to lift the quality of expression in those fields, to develop a higher understanding of the potential, say, for example, of the field of finance. People who are involved in trying to correct the problems of distribution of money throughout the world to alleviate the terrific poverty, the disparity between the very rich and the very poor. Those would be examples of people who are members of the new group of world servers. And the growth of this group, she says in her books, is a phenomenon of just the past century. It's an indication of a gain in human evolution, that people have attained the ability to cooperate in a subjective way, not necessarily knowing each other outwardly, but they are part of a network of cooperators who are engaged in solving some of these major problems.
And that's the unique thing about this group, and probably the saving grace for this group, because it's not organized, it has no organization, and it has no head, there is no one directing this group. It's just a group of advanced, well, relatively advanced souls that have come into the world at this time, particularly since, I think, the 1930s. Mm-hmm. And they are now of have of an adult age, and they are the ones that are simply doing what they are destined to do in this particular life.
It's a sign of the particular stage that humanity has reached. Her books are directed toward the period of the last 50 years or so, and the coming cycle of 25 to 50 years, which is the period of a shift between ages. There's a lot of talk about the new age, and the ageless wisdom does affirm that at this period in human history, we have left what was called the old age, and we are moving into a new age. The point of that being that it's a time of transition and upheaval and of real crisis, because anytime there's such a major shift in energy, people are affected by it. It's a time of opportunity, but also of great confusion and conflict. And I think we can look at the world and see exactly that.
Yes, and I think that one of the reasons why these teachings are given out at this time, because of this transition period and the need to for humanity to have some understanding of what's happening and can make sense of all the apparent chaos.
And see it in a more positive light, that this chaos and this crisis is coming about because humanity is ready for it, she would say. We have reached a stage in our development and in our links with our fellow human beings that makes it possible for us to move through the crisis into a higher level of better human relationships, better relationships between nations, greater peace. So in spite of how the present times might look, we are up to the challenge, she would say, and the new group of world servers is a validation that there are great networks of people that are engaged in trying to bring in and anchor the new values of justice, right human relations, sharing, cooperation, the overcoming of the old familiar barriers of differences in religion and race and class and so on.
And I think you can look around the world in the past 50 or 75 years and you can see these qualities emerging.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and we're discussing the books of Alice Bailey today, and more or less an answer to some of your questions, asking about those books and wanting to do an overview type show. And our gift, I guess people are interested in that gift. I mentioned that we were giving you a gift earlier. And the gift is really a synopsis of the books of Alice Bailey. And it's available in a 32-page booklet, the title of which is 30 Years' Work, available at no charge by calling the following number, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's a toll-free number, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. That's 1-866-695-8247. Any of the books are available at a 10% discount to any listener who mentions Inner Sight when they place their order. If you order the complete set of 24 volumes and mention Inner Sight, you'll receive a 20% discount. Books may be ordered by internet or phone if you have a credit card, or by mail. On the internet, our books are available from Amazon.com or our own website, which is www.lucistrust.org. Lucis Trust is one word, L-U-C-I-S-T-R-U-S-T, www.lucistrust.org. They can also be borrowed from our lending library at 120 Wall Street, New York, New York. Again, that toll-free number is 1-866-695-8247 or 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS. All the work of the LUCIS Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the LUCIS Trust. We are not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give. If you want these programs to continue on the air, donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Sarah, I'd like to get back to that discussion on the books of Alvis Bailey. It would certainly be interesting if you could fit them all into this half hour, but I know that's impossible.
No, all we can do is touch on a few of the themes. Another theme that predominates in your books is that of the psychology of the soul, which is discussed in depth in esoteric psychology.
That's a kind of a fascinating study because, at least to me, it portends the future of psychology. And it opens a way to a new type of psychology, which is really the psychology for the well, not for the sick. It's a psychology of based on what we call the science of the seven rays. And we've talked about those seven rays before, the seven qualities of life that are differentiated into seven qualities. And each individual, each person, each one of you is made up of five, a combination of five of these rays. And this forms a fascinating field of study because it gives a deep insight into why you do the things you do and why you are what you are by studying these rays. And
also the direction in which you are heading as a soul, as an evolving being.
Right.
Can be identified by those rays.
And I think this will become a new field of psychology in the future. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's already being used today and by some psychologists.
Yes, I think there is this growing realization that people have a fairly innate drive toward wellness, toward healing, not only within the body but within the psyche. And as you say, it's a psychology of the well. It's a psychology that awakens an understanding of the healing power of the soul to overcome all personal problems and cleavages within the personality. The soul is perfectly healthy and perfectly whole. And as one awakens to the realization that one is a soul, one can begin to find one's path toward integrating all the different aspects of one's nature. And it also helps one to understand others and to have compassion and respect for them. To me, one of the major effects of studying the books of Alvis Bailey is one comes away with a sense of the dignity of the human being as an entity, that every human being, regardless of his stage in evolution, is a soul in incarnation and has within him or her an innate impulse to evolve, to grow in understanding, to redeem himself, to overcome, to move forward into light in the same way that a sunflower follows the path of the sun. And this gives you great hope for the shape of the world.
And it's part of the ongoing series of revelations, and that's one of the objectives behind evolution itself, is a series of revelations that these books help provide.
Are you speaking about, well, she identifies a number of so-called revelations in the past century that came about. One was the release of the energy of the atom.
Mm-hmm.
And another was, let's see, the effect of the World War, which brought a tremendous expansion in human consciousness through pain and suffering. And what else? What are some other revelations?
Well,
is that the kind of thing you mean?
Yes, that's one of the things. But just the general awakening that is going on in human consciousness. And the revelations come almost daily.
Mm-hmm.
And these books of Alvis Bailey provide a tremendous boost to that revelatory. In fact, they're called revelatory teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also called teachings that should precede and condition the new age. Mm-hmm. So they have a definite purpose of coming out into the world at this particular time.
I think that preceding and conditioning is that they make it very clear that humanity has to take responsibility for the shape of the world and to fulfill its part in the divine plan. We've talked about this before, but to me, it can't be said too often that humanity's role as the middle or mediating kingdom in the progression of life in our world means that humanity is intended to be the revealer of the plan for the lower kingdoms, animal, vegetable, and mineral. So much depends on humanity's intelligence or lack of it, cooperation or lack of it, unselfishness or lack of it, in the way that we relate to each other and to the rest of the living beings that share our planet. And the New Age will depend on what we do now and the kinds of decisions we make now.
And one of those other concepts that was mentioned, I think we mentioned it in the last program, is about the spiritual hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to reiterate about that a little bit?
Well, the hierarchy is called the Masters, or the Masters of Wisdom, the White Brotherhood, as it's called sometimes. These are the beings who have passed through the human stage of evolution, but who remain identified and engaged in the evolution of our planet. They do not manipulate or interfere in our world, but they guide and prompt as the soul does. They direct energy into human consciousness, energies of light and love and the will to good. And again, it plays up the importance of meditation, because for human beings to receive and respond to those energies, they require meditation and preferably group meditation. And this is how the hierarchy seeks to work with human consciousness, to expand our consciousness through light and love, so that we will then in turn make appropriate choices and decisions for the way we live.
And the Bailey books have really enlightened us about who these great beings are, who this hierarchy, members of this hierarchy are, and the objective is to bring us closer together.
In cooperation.
Mm-hmm. So the human kingdom and the spiritual kingdom can come closer together, and they're in fact on the path of merging eventually.
There's a lot of nonsense that's said, I think, about the Masters, a lot of glamour associated mm-hmm. with it, but essentially they could be called the Elder Brothers, and they give us assurance that we are not alone, but we do have responsibilities that we have to shoulder ourselves, speaking of us as human mm-hmm. beings.
And for those people who would like to get that gift that we spoke about earlier, it's very easy to get. Even the number is a toll-free number. The book is it's a synopsis. It's a booklet, actually, which is a synopsis of the books of Almas Bailey. It's a 32-page booklet, the title of which is Ask for 30 Years' Work. Call at the toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. L-U-C-I-S is LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the Masters know and serve. from the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.